Hello, I'm a Mac.
In the left corner, coming in at 80 gigs, hailing from office desktops everywhere, PC!
Okay, what's going on, buddy?
Well, your sales are through the roof. I'm showing the people I'm not going down without a fight.
PC, this isn't a competition, okay? Some people just want a computer that's simple and intuitive, that works the way they do.
Actually, my brother-in-law just got a Mac and loves it.
Welcome to the Cultcast, man. I'm your host, man, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, he likes Apple stuff and he lives in a desert, which is crazy, man, because there's like no water in the desert, but that's where he lives. It's crazy, man. Buster Kine is here.
Oh, bro, what's up, dude?
What's up, bro? Also joining us, he's that bloke that likes to toke, man. It's clean. Leander Caney's here, man.
Hey, Erfan.
Some serious gravity hits going on over there. Only the biggest tokes for this bloke.
In the bong, man.
All right. Juvenile humor aside, till the end of the show, anyway. Happy 420 to those that celebrate. That's why we're doing these ridiculously stupid intros. For those that missed the joke, we're recording on 420.
It's a big national holiday here in San Francisco.
Oh, I bet it is. I bet
Golden
the whole
Gate
city
Park
is covered
is
in the cloud.
Packed, yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Are they having like parades and stuff?
I think it's just, no one can get it together to make a parade.
But no one shows up.
They can make a big drum circle.
You know who does really well today is AMPM. Their stores are just, their shelves are just totally empty. Like all the Funyuns are gone, all the Lovin' Snapple's gone. They gotta have like extra people on hand at all times. There's people wearing pagers, like they're gonna get called in if there's a surge.
Yeah.
In traffic.
Actually, yeah, all the shops, all the marijuana dispensers around here, they're all like it's the biggest sale of the year for them. So there's like crowds of people outside giving away freebies, all sorts of stuff.
Freebies?
Yeah. They give away freebies anyway, like crazy. I mean, there's so much money pouring into it that there's tons of. You go in and you come out with more freebies than you do the stuff you buy.
It's like when you go to Costco and you eat all the snacks, you don't even have to buy anything.
Right. Yeah, like and all sorts of crazy stuff. I came out with a bag of these marijuana infused bones for my dog.
Wow, they're making dog products now.
You got some of those?
Yeah,
calm the dog
down.
Oh, I need some of those. Those would be...
like, your dog's too high strung.
Yeah, no, he's not high strung, but... Oh, Leander's is, I bet. Yeah, because he barks at everybody, right?
Yeah.
Your dog's mental. He needs a chill, man. And I know just the thing, man. Try this bone.
Right. I only gave him half, though, because it said it was like, he's a smaller dog. So it said, the weight... It's give him, like dogs, I think it was under 25, give him half. So I gave him half, and I don't know if it really worked. I think I might have to up the dosage.
Yeah, definitely up that.
Well, it's not even legal there in California, is it?
What?
They just passed the law.
Oh, did they?
It's not totally legal. Yeah. But I mean, it's so close, I bet the police don't care anymore.
It's quite, it's been decriminalized for a long time now. And, it's so pervasive. That it's it's for all intents and purposes.
It's happening
legal.
Everywhere. It's really crazy. I mean, I think back to like 15 years ago, and it was still. I mean, to the people that smoked it, it wasn't taboo, but to the culture at large, I think it still was. It still had a stigma around it, and it still does. But I look at what's happening today in Seattle, especially because now it's legal here, and there's just stores everywhere where you can just walk in, like go to a store, mm-hmm. and you just walk in, and
crazy,
just, like,
it? Yeah.
It's like in, and they have like menus, and there's all these different varieties and different kinds of products. It's really unbelievable how much has changed in the last 5 years. I mean, it used to be like a shady, like street corner type deal. You had to look for the shoes over the wire, right?
Do people smoke it in public though? Do you see people in public doing it?
I do, but not very often. It's still pretty taboo to smoke it in public.
Is it?
I don't think that will ever go away. Even when I was in Amsterdam, even there, it's not. I don't think it's okay to smoke it.
Well, people used to go to the cafes, right, and smoke in the cafes.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And here, like, I mean, we went to a concert on Tuesday night, and everyone was smoking weed. It was weed everywhere.
Yeah, I bet, and you got to
a Giants baseball game. And it's the same as well. You know, like the whole stadium is full of
it's just
smoke.
Full of smoke.
Yeah.
There's places in Seattle where that's true. Also, like, there's this park on the water near a high school near my house, and I was there just the other day, and there's this hill called Kite Hill because it's a pretty steep hill and people fly kites on it because it's windy, and all these high school kids were just hanging out there, and all of them, they were all up there just toking away, and I was like, this is crazy, man.
They're
like,
all high as kites, huh?
Yeah, exactly. That's probably why they go there. And big black clouds rolling over their heads. And some of these kids are actually kind of scary. They look like they're like 16, you know, 15, and some of them are probably 18. So it actually is legal. But yeah, other than that, you don't see people smoking much pot anywhere. Anyway, we are going to talk about some Apple stuff, and there is a lot of Apple stuff to talk about this week. We got some specs on the new iPhone 8. I mean, let the leaks begin. Am I right, Buster?
Yeah, well, Leak City.
It's been leaking forever, USA. What, Leander?
Well, it's debatable because they're dueling leaks. They're completely contradictory.
Right.
You mean the Bloomberg report and the leaked iPhone 8 drawings?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are contradictory, and it just goes to show that Apple has multiple prototypes out there. So we'll talk about that. We'll deconstruct all that, but I was left very excited. And I'll tell you why. And then if you stick around till the end, we are going to be telling you the 6 apps every stoner needs on 420. Buster probably has all these installed on his phone. He's had them for many years, I'm sure. So if you partake of the greenery, you'll want to stay tuned for that because I took a look through this list and some of them actually look pretty useful. We'll have Buster tell us about those. Before we jump into the news, let me go ahead and say thanks to Squarespace, man. Make your next move in 2017. You can get your unique domain and create a beautiful website at squarespace.com. Have you ever emailed somebody who is emailing you for business reasons and they have like a freaking Comcast email address or a Gmail email address? I just think it looks really unprofessional when people have those types of email addresses. If you have a proper business, you should have a proper URL for your business and an email domain that matches your URL. You don't want it to say at yahoo.com or at comcast.net for sure. And not only can you get a URL, a unique domain at squarespace.com, you can also build a beautiful website quickly without having to know how to code at all. It's because Squarespace has a plethora of award-winning designer templates. You go to squarespace.com, you sign up for the free trial, you pick a template, and then you can customize everything about it, make the site look uniquely yours. Everything is drag and drop. It's super simple to use. I've built several Squarespace sites now, and I've never used anything like it. They have so much attention to detail in the design. It looks beautiful, and it's also so simple to customize everything that your site will be done. It'll be up and running in no time. And it's all in one platform. There's nothing to install, patch, or upgrade. You can build a blog. You can build an e-commerce website. You can build beautiful image galleries. You can attach all your social media, YouTube videos, you name it. And they have award-winning customer service 24/7 if you get stuck. Go check it out at squarespace.com. You can use code CULTCAST to save 10% off your first order. And if you sign up for a year of service, you will also get a free domain name. Squarespace.com. All right, let's just go right to the big story this week. This was the iPhone 8 stuff. We got that report from Bloomberg. Good to see Mark Gurman showing his face here and there. Did you guys watch the video report?
No, I saw that he's going to have his own TV show or show on Bloomberg, Gadgets with Gurman.
That's right. Gadgets with Gurman. He did like something I've never seen him do in a TV show before. I watched the report and he actually smiled like twice. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my gosh, he's loosening up. Gurman. He's getting older. He's getting loose, man. I think Bloomberg's been good for him. And he came out with a report this week. Let me just go through the details real quick, and then we can talk about it. According to the report, and as we've discussed on this show, Apple is preparing 3 iPhones for launch. 2 will simply be updated versions of the current iPhone, and there will be a high-end model with a totally revamped look. Apple's testing a premium version with a screen that covers almost the entire front of the device. We've talked about this before as well. That results in a display that is slightly larger than that of a iPhone 7 Plus, but with an overall phone size closer to the iPhone 7. The updated lower-end iPhones will stick with LCD displays and get maybe some hardware updates here and there, but will be by and large the same phones that you have today, probably with a similar price tag. One of the latest prototypes for the premium phone includes symmetrical, slightly curved glass on the front and the back. The curves are similar to the shape of the iPhone 7, and they feature an OLED screen. And this is the part that I thought was super exciting. While there's glass that covers the front, there's also glass that covers the back, and then there's like that steel frame that goes around the phone. So the design concept is similar to that of the iPhone 4, which I thought was a beautiful phone and actually might be my favorite iPhone design. I really liked the look of that phone. But Apple is testing, according to the report, other prototypes and hasn't necessarily come to a final prototype yet. And then you can also expect some significant camera changes in the schematics that we'll talk about here in just a minute that were quote-unquote leaked this week. The cameras were stacked vertically instead of horizontally. I don't know exactly why Apple would want to do that, but
yeah, we should talk about that, because that some interesting implications, I think.
Virtual reality, and then when it's sideways on a headset, you could do like the translucent thing, like overlaid with it, right? And have one for each, like one camera is one eyeball, pretty much, right? Because you got to have two lenses for 3D.
Well, I think it's because if people are holding it sideways, right, in landscape or in portraits. Mm-hmm. But at the moment, you know, it's they're set horizontally. I don't know. Is that, you know, if they were 3D cameras, wouldn't that's good for if you're recording like a Snapchat style, you know, vertical portrait style video. Mm-hmm. But if they switch it, then it would be optimized for landscape videos, right?
It would depend on the orientation of the sensors, would be my guess.
Well, that's what I mean. You know, yeah, they're switching it up. If they're going to switch it for, at the moment, you know, if you want to get that 3D stereoscopic separation, it's, you know, at the moment it's like the if you hold it vertically in portrait mode, then you get the stereoscopic separation. If you switch it to landscape, then the cameras become vertical, right?
Right.
So you don't get the stereoscopic separation anymore.
I'm starting to follow you now. Okay, so you're saying that if they wanted to allow you to make horizontal or 16:9 video and they wanted to use augmented reality, then the orientation of the lenses would have to be vertical so that when you went into horizontal mode, it was the cameras were next to each other and stuff on top of each other. Right,
exactly. Okay. But, you know, but I thought videos were starting to become more vertical these days thanks to Snapchat.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if that's true. I mean, Snapchat is certainly popular with people who like Snapchat, but I don't ever see vertical videos. And anytime I see people making vertical videos,
you see them all the time.
I loudly scoff.
I know, right? Well, exactly. You see them all the time. You see them everywhere, especially all these, you know, like all these leaked videos. You see them everywhere. They're always vertical.
I wish people would stop doing vertical videos.
Well, it makes sense, but it doesn't though. See, they look weird if you look at them on a computer because the computer is is landscape
or television. Yeah.
But if you look at them on a phone, it makes perfect sense because they're perfectly they're the right orientation for looking them on a phone.
Yeah, but nothing annoys me more than vertical video, or when somebody films like a video for video.
Man.
Like anytime I do cliff jumping and I hand somebody my phone, I'm like, will you film this for me? And they're like, cool. And then like I'm about to jump and I see that they're like filming it vertically. I'm like, no, stop it.
No.
Turn that shit sideways.
Yeah. I mean, I just think the utility of vertical video is so limited. And there's Snapchat where it looks normal. And if you're gonna watch videos just on your iPhone, then yeah, I guess that makes sense. But I stream a lot of videos to my Apple TV, and then the video is shrunk, and it looks all weird.
Yeah, I think
it's television screen.
Really matters like how the creator wants the content displayed, and that's what I think about. Like, yeah, you could just film all day on vertical and just post it to Instagram Stories or Snapchat or something. But if you want to make a video that like you are going to want to watch in 10 years or on different devices and TVs and stuff, then yeah, you should film it horizontally.
Is that true though? Maybe you should do something. Maybe you should, you know, do what Snap is doing and make it spherical.
Spherical. I don't have a spherical camera, so.
Well, that was the, you know, with the glasses.
Yeah.
Then you can watch it both ways, right?
So. Yeah. Maybe I should just.
Yeah,
get
isn't
some
Snapchat
spectacles.
Dying?
Yeah.
You don't want to adopt their standard.
No,
they're
I don't.
Be around in 3 years.
I don't waste time on Snapchat anymore. They're just the incubator for Facebook at this point.
Facebook.
Yeah, it seems like Snapchat's not nearly as cool as it used to be.
Well, yeah, and just because Instagram has everything that Snapchat does, pretty much.
Yeah,
so,
right. They stole their mojo.
Yeah,
they really did, didn't they? They copied every feature that was in there. It's actually getting kind of confusing to use. Like, I find the Instagram interface, especially around stories, to be confusing.
Around stories? It could be better.
Have you ever tried to post a photo or a video that you took previously and now you're trying to post it into your stories?
Yeah.
And you don't find that to be confusing?
You can only do it for the past 24 hours.
Right. But still, like, you don't find the interface to be confusing?
Not for
you're
that.
You're like the Rain Man of technology.
I find Snapchat's interface to be way more confusing than Instagram's.
I do too.
Like, Snapchat's, it's like horrible. Every time I open it, I get lost. I'm like, God, what did I...
You open it up and it's like CNN, MSNBC. It's like, what is Rachel Maddow doing here? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
It's like, I want to follow people. I don't want to see... Like Brian Stetler's Snapchats, I care less. I just want to see like the people that I'm actually following. Anyway, we digress. So let's move on.
Well, there's some other weird things about this rumor, right?
What?
Did you find the whole thing about the really curved back kind of strange?
Not really.
Well, what are they going to do? They're going to stick a big fat battery in there? I mean, look how thin the iPhone 7 is right now. You could not make it curve without making the edges sharp. Right? If you curved it, the edges would become, you know, so razor thin that they would be sharp, wouldn't they? If they have the current edges now and you stick a curve on it, it's going to have a big bulge.
Well, it's hard to tell what they mean by curve. Curve can mean so many things. I mean, you're thinking clearly about, like, the iPhone 3GS curves.
Well, that's what it said, though, isn't it?
That's what
the rumors were saying?
Or, yeah, similar
but,
to
but
the
But they would have to make it.
They
can't mean that literally because... The iPhone 3GS was so much thicker than the current iPhone. I see what you're saying. If the phone is thin and you had that drastic of a curve, then you would have like sharp edges all the way
pregnant
around
the phone. Pregnant at
the
back. It would be bulging out.
That would be
out
weird.
Weren't they saying that it might be slightly thicker? I thought there was something about that with the iPhone 7S or 7S Plus that they might be a little bit thicker, which I would totally welcome. Like,
I wouldn't mind that either.
Oh,
honestly.
Yeah.
As long as it's not like super thick.
Yeah, as long as it comes with more battery life.
Right, that's the thing. Yeah, more battery, right.
Yeah, which
that's not gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's clearly a lot of prototypes floating around out there, and it's hard to know what Apple's gonna do because I'm not even sure that Apple has settled on what they're gonna do. There was another leak this week from Sonny Dixon, who's the guy on Twitter. The guy never like once every 4 months, the guy tweets out some Apple stuff, and then like it like circulates like crazy. He seems to have pretty good sources, though. I mean, he's been right quite a lot in the past. And he posted a photo this week of iPhone 8 schematics. And it seems to confirm some of the stuff that we've already talked about. It had the vertical orientation of the cameras. It kind of looks like the iPhone 5, only a little bit bigger. Although it did look like it had a solid metal case on the back.
Well, right. It's a unibody design.
Yeah.
So it's not like the iPhone 5, which was like two pieces of glass sandwiched between a steel chassis.
Well, was the back supposed to be glass?
Well, that's what the rumor we just talked about said it was two pieces of glass, right?
Right, and the leak that Sonny Dixon had made it seem like it was going to be just like a normal screen on the front and then metal on the back.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it looks kind of like it has the sharp edges of the iPhone 5, but it's actually a unibody, so it has a metal back. So it resembles the iPhone 5, but with metal instead of glass on the back.
That would be weird, and it seems like if Apple was having trouble figuring out how to do the glass, maybe how to get the glass to be as curved as they want, this might be like a backup phone, so maybe this is something that Apple is considering. I would be really surprised if they release something like this because if with the metal phone, I mean, from my understanding, they can't have wireless charging either, which is one of the reasons why they're moving away from metal and moving towards glass.
Well, maybe this is one of the other phones, because the previous rumor said there were going to be three models, right? One of the, and the only the plus model, the iPhone 8, was going to be different. The other two were going to be sort of updates of the current design. And this would be an update of the current design, kind of. But instead of having, you know, it would be the same unibody back, but instead of it being curved, it's more angular. It's sharper.
I like where you're going with this. I like what I'm hearing.
Maybe.
That might be right. They might have one. So they're going to look similar, all three, but the premium phone is going to have the glass front and the glass back, whereas these ones are going to be a unibody design, as you said, and they'll all look similar, so you can tell they're of the same generation, but the premium one's going to be more premium, clearly, than the other two iPhones. By the way, not to go on a total tangent, but a while back we were talking about why the new iPad that we've talked about, you know, the one with the bezel-less design, maybe hadn't come out yet, and we're trying to figure out when it was going to be coming out. And I think I read that week something by John Gruber that echoed something that you were thinking, Leander, and that was like they couldn't release the iPad with the updated design because the iPad can't come out before the iPhone because the iPhone is the premium device. Right? So he was thinking they're going to push the release of the iPad towards after when they release the new iPhones because it's going to have the same type of design language that the new iPhones have. So that might be why we haven't seen it yet, and we may not see it until fall, which if that ends up being true, I don't want to cause any controversy, but he stole your idea.
I'd just say great.
Which doesn't even surprise me, because he gets most of his ideas from this show. From we all know that. Yeah. It's like listening to his show. Sometimes I have to stop and say, it's what uncanny. Show am I listening to?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I thought I was listening to our show, but.
Like deja vu.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Lots of glitches in the Matrix when we listen to his show. Let's see here. Where were we? Oh, so another piece of information that we kind of thought might happen on the new iPhones, Touch ID on the back in this new schematic, which I think I would enjoy quite a lot and has caused some controversy. Some people not a big fan of Touch ID on the back. What do you guys think about having the Touch ID button move to the backside? I know you're a big fan of the backside, Buster.
Yeah, but then it'll be so ugly. Like, I just always look at the Google Pixel phone has it on the back, and doesn't the new Samsung phone has it on the back, and I think LG did it.
Well, the new Samsung phone, especially, they put the sensor next to the camera.
Yeah.
To the side.
So you're going to smudge your camera lens all the time.
Well, yeah, exactly. So when you're going to touch it, you're not sure if you're touching the camera, you're touching the fingerprint sensor.
Yeah, stupid.
But I'm sure Apple would not position it so it would be confusing.
If they would make it you would think obvious. Yeah, they do it in an elegant way. But also, if they do it, it's like, oh well, then why did they redesign the Touch ID button on the iPhone 7? Because they won't be able to have the same type of thing on it, will they? Or I guess they could. It'll just be a piece of glass on the back and. It'll still have like 3D touch or whatever it has on the iPhone 7.
And they'll be using the Touch IDs for the two models of the iPhone that aren't premium. So it'll be used there as well.
Yeah. Or I saw somebody made like a joke that Apple could just remove it and create an iTouch dongle that you plug into your phone and you can still have an iTouch that way.
That's actually not a bad idea, because I heard that they were going to be removing the camera module entirely and having a dongle for that.
Oh, well, that's
great, too.
So you
plug the dongle into the bottom of the phone, yeah. And then whenever you want to take a picture, you just grab your dongle. It's quick, right? Just grab your dongle, plug it in, flip the phone upside down, unlock it, and you're ready to take your picture.
You're ready to go.
Yeah, you're ready to go. I think that makes a lot of sense. And then you don't have to have the ugly lens on the back of the phone, you know?
Everything's just...
Doesn't that...
Dongles for everything, man.
Yeah, dongles are the way to go. I'm a huge fan of dongles. I know a lot of people don't like them, but you want to get rid of. I'm of the same mentality as Johnny Ive. You know, great minds think alike, like fools rarely differ. Get rid of it as much as you can. I mean, sometimes I even wonder: does the screen need to be part of the iPhone? Maybe you could just have the iPhone just be a little computer, and then when you need to use a screen, you just have like a screen connected via Bluetooth. What do you guys think about that?
Okay.
Yeah, see?
It'll make it a lot smaller.
There's a lot of great ideas that I have. Sometimes I email these to
I'm surprised you haven't been recruited.
I haven't heard back from him yet, but sometimes I see in their updated designs, like clearly they're reading my emails and integrating some of this stuff. And if we see a dongle, you guys will know. The camera dongle was my idea.
Okay, yeah, you heard it first.
That's one that I'm very proud of.
I'm sure Gruber will be discussing it next week.
Definitely, most likely. He'll be recommending it, actually.
You know, I like the Touch ID sensor on the back, though. There's I've got a couple of Android phones that have that, and it works really well.
Does it?
Yeah, it's quite a natural place to put it.
I totally agree. When you pick up your phone, my index finger rests towards the top middle of the phone when I'm holding it.
Yeah.
And especially on the 7 Plus, I find that reaching for the Touch ID is actually kind of a stretch.
It probably will for me. Change the way you hold your phone, because a lot of times, you know, you're holding it down at the bottom because you want quick access to that button. So,
totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I think it actually will make your phone more stable, too. Like, it makes it harder to drop, because your fingers and your thumb stay kind of clamped on the side, right? So you're constantly holding it. Where if you're touching the Touch ID, for me, I'm doing it right now. I have my phone resting on my pinky. I have my index finger on the back, and then my middle and my ring finger on the sides. And then one side is just being pressed into my hand as I'm touching the Touch ID, which makes it easier to drop, especially with this phone, if you don't have a case on it particularly, because it's so damn slippery. It's the most slippery phone I've ever owned in my life. Jeez, I don't know how people use this thing without a case. Are you still going caseless, Leander?
Yeah.
Are you just dropping it every day?
Yeah,
I dropped it constantly just shooting yesterday.
That's all scratched up.
That's shooting right out of your hand.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I think that was everything. I'm expecting to start seeing more leaks start coming out.
Yeah.
We're gonna be start seeing like hardware leaks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did it actually one last thing about the Sonny Dixon thing, you know, like, I mean, my first thought when I looked at it, it looked more realistic than the previous schematics that leaked the week before. But did anyone do an analysis of the schematics to make it, you know, to see whether they were faked or, you know, like, because there's some Chinese characters on it, you know, did anyone like dig into that to see if it was,
I don't know,
you know, potentially real?
Not that I know of, but I know this. Sonny Dixon has been very accurate in the past. I mean, he oftentimes will give iPhone parts to YouTubers to make videos on. In fact, several of like the Unbox Therapy videos have been parts that Lou has received from Sonny Dixon.
Right.
And they've been spot on.
Too, yeah.
So he's clearly got some good sources, which is weird because I think he Australian?
I think he lives in Australia. Yeah.
And he doesn't ever write about Apple stuff. I mean, it's just he happens to somehow have these sources that get him these parts. And since he doesn't seem to have any interest in covering them himself, he just gives them to other people to
cover. He sent me a couple of weird private messages in Twitter the last couple of weeks.
He sent you guys some private messages?
Well, to me personally.
Oh, shoot.
He's like, hey, why don't we talk more? And you know, why aren't we friends?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, we can be friends if you like. That's sure. That's great. You
know, I'll be your friend. Right.
Why don't you send me some leaks?
I'll be your friend.
I don't know if I like where this is going.
That's a He's like, friendship.
Send me some dick pics and I'll give you the iPhone pics that you want.
But anyway, then he said he was on holiday and he'd get back to me. And then the next thing you know, he's posting up pictures of iPhone schematics.
So. What the heck? You should be hitting him up. He'll give you the goods. I mean, Cult Mac would be like the perfect place to break these stories, don't you think?
Yeah, indeed. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
I mean, shoot.
Yeah, I'll get back to him.
Yeah. Okay. Well, is there anything that I missed, Buster?
I think that's it.
So we have a much better idea now of possibilities of iPhone 8. I am beyond excited. I love the glass sandwich design of the iPhone 4. And if we head that direction, that's going to make me very happy. So I'll post links of all this stuff in the show notes so you guys can take a look at this stuff yourself if you're interested to see what it looks like. Let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about... Oh, we at least got to bring this up. Apple, it seems this week, got a green light to test autonomous cars in California. Oh, so they're awesome. Definitely working on something. The California DMV updated its website today, adding Apple to a list of 30 companies testing self-driving cars in California, including Tesla, Google, VW, Ford, Mercedes and BMW. What I was surprised by is the list. Did you guys look at the list? It is like every single major car company and car companies that you have never heard of.
Yeah.
Everyone's working on self-driving companies. Cars.
Yeah, everybody wants to.
But if you were hoping that Apple was going to release an Apple Car, it seems that that may not be in the cards any longer.
No.
The cars they're using to test are 2015 Lexus RX 450H.
Right, but that's all they need, isn't it, to test the software?
Mm-hmm.
They don't actually need a physical prototype.
No, they don't. But I guess that would be the point, right, is they're just working on the software now and not...
Right, and I think this, you know, like there was all these rumors last year, wasn't there? They're scaling back on the car project, that they're just going to do software, they might be licensing it, they're not actually developing a car.
You don't believe it.
I don't believe it at all. I didn't believe those reports at the time, and I don't believe it now. I think this is you know, proof that they are still working on a car.
You think that was a smokescreen? They were trying to throw everyone off their trail.
Yeah, I don't know. The project's always, you know, really tumultuous, you know, like behind the scenes. And it's because Apple's so secretive, it's difficult to know exactly what's going on. You only get bits and pieces. But, you know, every single big project they've done has been, you know, fraught with all kinds of drama and difficulties, you know. It's never easy. And so I think, you know, the snippets of information get leaked out. They become distorted. It becomes, you know, this echo chamber, you know. So that's like, I don't know what happened, you know. The stories were they'd laid off half the team, right?
Yeah.
They'd fired everybody. And, you know, maybe that was true. But, and, the conclusion was that they were scanning the project. You know, maybe they fired everyone and they just hired a new bunch of new people. They didn't can the project at all.
Well, they still got Bob Mansfeld in there.
I love right. Bob.
Big Bob. He's in there and he's doing something. And he's a hardware guy, right, Leander?
Yeah.
So wouldn't it be weird to have him?
Apple's
leading
a hardware company.
Software development project?
They're not going to suddenly change. They're a hardware company. If they're going to sell a car, they're going to sell a car. They're not going to develop the software for somebody else. There's no way. They're not going to get into this kind of Microsoftian sort of, you know.
Yeah.
That's a really good point that should also be obvious that I never really thought of. Why would they develop software and then lease it to everyone else? That's what Microsoft tried to do with Sync.
Yeah, yeah. The money is in the hardware. That's where the profits
are. Right.
They're going to bring the same model, you know, as the iPhone, doing the hardware and the software and the services. It's an integrated product that they're going to bring to automotive. For sure. I would say there was no doubt about it at all.
They might try to partner with someone at first to bring their car to the market, like they did with the first iTunes phone. Wasn't that the thing called the iRocker? the worst mobile phone ever made.
I don't think they're going to do that. They're definitely going to, because you know, the other funny thing about the electric drivetrain is that it's completely upending the supply chain for the automotive market. And a lot of suppliers, you know, Delphi and Bosch, you know, they're all getting into electronic components. Because it's clearly going to take over from the internal combustion engine. You know, it's going to take a few years, but I think gas-driven cars are doomed. And with it, this giant global industry, you know, that relies on making and selling parts and components for cars, it's going to go electric. This is why, you know, I think, you know, people like Tesla are really... This is why Tesla's worth more than Ford now and GM.
Isn't that amazing?
Stock, because... you know, they're making the components for this next generation drivetrain.
Isn't Tesla going to soon be releasing an electric semi? They announced this recently. I don't know when they're actually going to be talking about it.
He said he was going to unveil it, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sooner or later.
Later.
Oh, did he say sooner
machine.
Or later? I thought there was a date.
Yeah, this fall, I think he said. Was.
Okay,
was,
so it's a
and
while,
I think they said
out.
They're announcing two trucks or something.
Are they? Okay, well, that would be curious to see, because a semi obviously has to pull a lot of weight.
Yeah, that's good.
And how are you going to store as much power as you need? And
yeah, it's going to need
on a semi.
Big
and then
batteries.
Also,
you fill the back with it with a giant battery.
Yeah, it's going to have like a Tesla Powerwall or several Tesla Powerwalls built into it.
The semi itself is going to be the battery pack, and they'll put the stuff they're transporting in the cab where the driver used to sit.
And there's going to be like a 10 by 10 foot trunk that you can put in your packages and stuff. Yeah. The entire thing.
Well, you never know. These things
giant...
could be giant trains, right? Like on the freeway, because they can drive back to back and save a lot of energy with you know, by slipstreaming each other.
Dude, you're blowing my mind right now.
They might.
It's gonna be so amazing. I mean, we're on the cusp of a massive shift in transportation, and it's incredibly exciting. And if you've been in the market for an electric vehicle, I've been kind of toying with the idea of buying one. I know people who listen will know I was thinking about buying a Leaf for a while. There's all these weird, like strange hybrid technologies out there right now. These cars are like part battery, part gas, part generator, part electric vehicle. And there's all these like really strange vehicles trying to compensate for the fact that battery power just isn't where it needs to be yet. But it feels like we're getting closer and closer to having batteries that are going to be able to do everything they need to do in order to power a vehicle for 200, 300, 400 miles. And once we hit that point, I think, as you said, Leander, there's going to be a drastic shift and people are going to start buying electric vehicles en masse because, I mean, they're so much simpler. There's no parts to break down. There's no radiator. There's no motor. There's no fluids to change. I mean, there's very little maintenance. It seems like such a superior product over a gasoline car.
Yeah.
But that's coming from a guy who's a fan of electric vehicles. All right, let's move on. Tell you what, we'll go right to the 6 apps every stoner needs on 420.
Sick.
Buster's got a whole list of apps that I'm going to guess are free, right, Buster? They're probably all free.
I hope so. I think so. I don't know.
Okay, Buster, let's just jump right into it. What's the first one here?
Probably Leafly.
That's funny.
It's the one app I actually do use because it has everything in it. Like if you want to know a weed strain, it has, you know, it'll tell you, oh, this one will make you hungry. This one will make you sleepy. This one will make you feel paranoid, you know.
This one will open a gate to hell. Yeah.
I really want to be paranoid and see the face of Diablo himself. Is there anything for that?
This one will give you nightmares.
You know what's funny? My cousin actually just got a job working for this company. He's a developer there.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It's a slick app.
It's just amazing. I was going to say this earlier, but I wanted to save it for this conversation. Back in the day when I would experiment with the greenery, there was no choice. You would go to your secret dealer and you're like, hey, what do you got? He's like, I got pot. Do you want it or not?
Right.
You know? What kind is it? It's green. It's here. Do you want it?
Well, it wasn't even that. It would usually be like kind of all dusty, right? It was like some pocket lint in it, and it would be horrible. But then you'd have to get it because that's all there was.
Exactly. You bought it because that's all there was. And now, like this Leafly app is a veritable smorgasbord of different strains, different varieties, different products. And I was talking with my cousin about this just the other day, and he was telling me about all the derivative products that are out there now that will focus on like what you're going for specifically. If you're going for pain relief, they have pot products for that. If you want to have an edible, there's like 1,000 different kinds of edibles now. There's like all this variety that you can check out, and Leafly, I think, does a good job showing you what's out there, as Buster said, and then it also talks about the different dispensaries in your area, especially in my neck of the woods. I could probably throw a rock in any direction and hit a dispensary. They are everywhere now because I don't have any schools near my house.
More dispensaries than Starbucks.
You need a guide to walk you through that.
Buster, so does Leafly, does it cover vapor, you know, vapor systems?
I don't think it like has... I don't think it has like reviews for hardware like vape systems, but like
the different oils.
Yeah, yeah, it has like the oils. Yeah, and you look up the oils and stuff, and you can look them up straight from menus too. So you can see a shop's menu and look at the oils, and then tap that one to see all the reviews and information on it and stuff.
Leander's DM. Please tell me this as we speak.
L-E-A-F-L-Y.
How do you spell it again? L-E-A. Leafly. L-Y. Okay, next one is, hi there.
Oh, hi there. Yeah, yeah. That's actually right, the app's name.
Right there. What's that? Hey, wait a second. I see what they did there. Hi there.
Yeah. It's basically just like Tinder for stoners.
So it's basically just a bunch of stone dudes hoping to meet a woman who's probably...
Yeah, I don't know.
This is like the Ashley Madison of stoners. There's not a single woman on this entire website, I guarantee you.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can also meet like dude friends who smoke weed. That's probably the only people you're going to meet is dude guys that smoke weed.
I'm trying to meet dude friends who smoke weed. So that's something that every stoner has said at least once in their life.
So
the funny thing is that when you smoke... there's no shortage of people that you run into that smoke. Yeah. It seems when you smoke, it seems like everybody smokes, doesn't it? It's like every single person you meet. It's like, oh, you smoke too? It's like, yeah. And then you always end up smoking.
Yeah, and then you meet that one weird person who doesn't. And you're like, what's wrong with you? God.
Oh, man. He doesn't want to smoke with me.
Jeez.
All right. Well, I guess I have to eat his funny. Okay. Next one is Ease. I've never heard of this one.
Oh, you haven't heard of this? Dude, this app is actually brilliant. No. It's
E-A-Z-E,
yeah,
by the way.
The app made its name because by like offering like Skype video calls for like medical marijuana consultations in California. So you'd pay like $30 and you do like an over the phone video chat consultation, and they would give you file for your card for you. That way you could get legal weed like super quick.
So in the places in the U.S. where you have to have a medical license to, or a medical prescription, I guess, yeah, to smoke.
Right. It would come into play there.
Yeah. This app won't be around much longer, I don't think.
No. And so they've actually pivoted to where now they deliver stuff to your door, like weed to your door. So you can order vapes or flower concentrates or all kinds of like edibles and stuff, and they'll bring it to you. It's probably huge in San Francisco.
I keep going on all these tangents between these between these apps. There's so many interesting conversations to have about pot in general now that things are changing so drastically. In my area now, Seattle was one of the first places to legalize pot. So I think we're farther ahead than a lot of places just as far as markets and availability. It's gotten to a point now where pot sold legally is actually cheaper than pot bought from, you know, drug dealers and that type of thing, which I thought was amazing because the taxes on weed in this area are outrageous. I think they're taxed at like 200%. Yeah. Like they're taxed at the grower, they're taxed when they sell. There's all these different points at which they're taxed, and yet it's still cheaper to buy from these dispensaries than it is to buy from a drug dealer, which is just crazy. I never thought I'd see the day.
Well,
we got an app here that I could have used in college. This is called WeGrow.
Yeah, and
what's this one
do? If you don't want to pay as much for that bud, you could try growing your own. And WeGrow, it's just like a little assistant that helps you out with each phase of seeding, or you know, planting, seeding, you know, trimming, all the stuff. I can't say I've used it.
Trimming, smoking.
But
I know, yeah.
Like, what I found was cool about it is because like it helps you like record like all the five essentials that you need for your plant: light, CO2, nutrients, water, and temperature. And like you can tell it what strain of weed you're growing, and it'll tell you the best like amount of light and all of this for that particular strain.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Back in college, I lived in this house with these other guys, and people would smoke every once in a while. And we went to Canada, and Canada, in Vancouver, Canada, particularly, there's this one street where pot was just ignored completely. It was like being in Amsterdam. You could buy it. You could buy seeds. And we were there, and we had never seen anything like it. And we were like, we're going to buy some seeds, and we're going to grow a pot plant. You know, it'd be awesome. So we bought these seeds, and we brought them back. And in our house, we had, like, this really weird room. It was like the ceilings were really low. You couldn't really walk in there. You had to bend over. It wasn't, like, an attic either. But it was, like, the perfect little room where you could, like, stash a plant. So we went, and we got, like, all the lights and everything. And we went to Home Depot and bought all the supplies that we need, and we grew this pot plant. And what we learned was there is a reason they call these things weeds. I kid you not, this thing grew like an inch a day. We would measure it every day, and this thing was unstoppable. At a certain point, we had to turn the lights off because it just kept growing so fast. It was starting to hit the ceiling.
What was it like? Something like Little Shop of Horrors? Was it?
Yes,
like,
yes. It was like Little Shop of Horrors. One night I was in there, I heard feed me, Seymour. I was like, uh-oh. And then you would change how the light works. It was actually really fascinating to see how the plant responds to light, and you would signal it to start growing like the actual marijuana.
How would you change the light?
Well, so you have to have the lights on for most of the day and then off for a certain period of time for it to start growing.
So
really?
So when it gets like 12 hours, the plant knows I'm about to die. I should produce the flower
so that works?
Yeah, yeah. And so then it produces the flowers, and then, yeah, you just take the trimmings.
It was crazy. I mean, so we flowered the thing. So we brought the light down to 12 hours, as Buster said, so 12 on, 12 off. And then it started growing these massive buds on them, and some of them were like 4 inches long. I mean, this thing was like the Terminator. It was unstoppable. And I remember when we started like harvesting it, we would snip like the little buds off, and these things were covered. It was like a Swarovski crystal iPhone case. It was glittering. It was glowing. You could have taken one of these things and chucked it at the wall, and it would have stuck. It was that sticky. It was unbelievable. I've got pictures of us, actually. We took a bunch of pictures with it. Like, we put, like, hats on it and stuff and put our arm around it and take pictures with it. I'll see if I can find some of those. If I can, I'll post them to Instagram or Twitter or something. They're hilarious.
How long did it last? About, you know, you smoke your way through it in about 2 weeks or?
Well, of course, once we got all the buds off it, we like called all our friends over, like, because we were so proud. We had been keeping this thing secret for like 3 or 4 months, right? And it smells like a pot plant, as you can imagine. So sometimes people would be like, "Oh, do you smell pot?" And we'd be like, "No, man, we don't smell anything." And then finally we let everyone in, like, "Hey, we had a pot plant upstairs," and it was gone in like 2 days, if that. Yeah, the guys I live with, they like to smoke a lot of pot.
The guys.
I mean, I didn't touch it. Right, I was like, I just stood in the corner.
You never inhaled, right? You just
no. Yeah, I like the taste. It's like I smoked it like a cigar, just in your mouth, and you breathe it out. And then I found out they were inhaling, and I was very disappointed in all of them.
I can't believe you were friends with those guys. Yeah,
I can't believe it either. I looked at them very scornfully, and I told them how disappointed I was.
And you were gonna call the cops. Yeah.
I was like, "You guys sure are acting funny. What's wrong with you guys?" Okay, where are we at?
In Mass college. Roots?
Is that the next one, Buster?
Mass Roots, so you can, like, take pics of those fat nugs you got and share them, you know?
This is hilarious, because going back to my college days, it's like when we got that plant, we were so proud of it, and it's like you wanted to, like, share your accomplishment with the world, that you'd grown these giant fat nugs, you wanted the whole world to see, and... Man, if we would have had this app back in the day, I could have documented the whole experience and sent my images to Dr. Dre, and he would have been probably so impressed.
You would have been cleaning up on that app. Just blowing up.
Dude, I would have had like 100,000 followers in no time at all. So we got Mass Roots, the Instagram of the stoner world. I'm actually going to download this. I got to see what this is all about. I mean, do people actually use this, Buster?
I have no idea. I don't, but it exists. So it must. Like, people do. Like, I mean, people are like, I see weed Instagrams all the time, and I'm just like, why would you be posting like pictures of you and weed like all the time on your Instagram? But I feel like maybe it would be okay inside its own little container, like Mass Roots, where, you know, you can show off your sweet weed, like, "Oh, look at how purpley this one is. This one's super crystally," or whatever gets you off.
Look at how purple, like, this one is.
Yeah, you know, it's not tied to your personal life in any way, so that's good.
Yeah, and so it makes it a little harder for your employer to see it.
Right. Look at Irfan celebrating.
Which, if you worked for Leander Keeney, would actually get you a raise. Oh, Mass Roots Library.
You wrote a post about it, would you?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, and finally, we have Weed Wallpapers HD for the members of the Vape Nation out there. Which one? What does this do for you, Buster?
No, it gets you those sweet Rastafari wallpapers. Yeah. You know, that just advertise. Yes, I do smoke weed.
Bust me.
Yeah.
Because there's different echelons of weed smokers, right? There's like the guy who dabbled with it in college. There's the guy who, you know, he smokes on the weekends just to chill. And then there's the guy who wears the Go Green shirt and has the bright green Mary Jane headband on, right? It's like he's part of the culture. It's like weed is
that
life,
app is
right?
For you, right?
I think all these apps are free. We'll link to all of these in the show notes in case you want to check any of them out. But I think that we should go ahead and wrap it up there, man. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come tell us about your fat nugs, Buster is BST3R on Twitter. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. Leander is L. Caney. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, man. And we'll we'll see you guys.
Okay. I always hate being around those guys that can't either. You're just like, okay, man, like, just maintain your chill, bro. Come on.
How can I maintain my chill when that guy's clearly a CIA agent, man? Yeah. And he knows that I'm high. I was always so paranoid that we were going to get caught.
Oh, get caught?
Yeah.
I just couldn't talk, and then I felt like an idiot, you know, and it was... And I get really paranoid about what people, other people were thinking, you know, because I wasn't talking. In fact, I started, you know, I started eating a little tiny bit when I was going on these bike rides, these training bike rides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's really, you know, it's really kind of great. I really, really enjoy it. I really, really dig it because it really makes a bike ride super fun.
I bet it does.
Imagine just riding a bike. You're just feeling like you're flying around and stuff.
It is. It's a fantastic setting. It is. Flying is a great way to describe it. It is just like being a bird. But then I was cycling up and there was a couple of people in front of me and I was like, oh no.
I can't know.
Do I overtake them or not? You know, should I go in front of them? And I think I'm showing off. I better stay behind. And then I'm behind them and I'm like, oh no. Oh my God, they think I'm a pervert. They think I'm following them. So then I like really quickly darted out in front of them, in front of this car. The car's honking at me and I almost jump off my bike. It's like, oh, it's horrible.